the Good News Station.
This is USA Headline News. I'm Melody Burkett. The vice president will not be running for president. More from senior correspondent Jason Wirt.
We can make them real with an absolute national commitment to end cancer.
That's Vice President Joe Biden stating during a speech he will not seek his party's presidential nomination and that he will spend the rest of his term focusing America on curing cancer.
I'm going to spend the next 15 months in this office pushing as hard as I can to accomplish this because I know there are Democrats and Republicans on the Hill who share our passion to silence this deadly disease.
Biden lost his son, Beau, to brain cancer in May. I'm Jason Wirt.
Meanwhile, Republican presidential frontrunner Donald Trump says Vice President Joe Biden's decision not to seek the presidency is probably the correct decision for him and his family. Trump tweeted that he would prefer to face Democratic frontrunner Hillary Clinton in the 2016 race because, quote, her record is so bad. For the USA Headline News, I'm Melody Burkett.
Safety for your home and family. Now that's important to you. And Gator Security, with its 5-year warranty, can help. With security, video surveillance, and access control, Gator Security is available at www.gatorsecurity.com or 800-676-1580. Gator Security, with its 5-year warranty, is a proud corporate sponsor of WCNO. Gatorsecurity.com.
Godfrey Electric is a fourth-generation, full-service electrical contractor serving St. Lucie, Martin, Palm Beach, and Broward counties. Godfrey Electric specializes in industrial, commercial, and residential electrical service work. Godfrey Electric, an underwriter of the WCNO Ministry, is available on the web at www.godfreyelectric.com or at 561-833-3753.
USA Christian News. A letter has been sent to the Palatine, Illinois School District that explains federal law allows separate restrooms and even locker rooms for boys and for girls. The letter from Matt Sharp of Alliance Defending Freedom explains they should protect students from exposure to the opposite sex in that it's not only legal to allow this protection, but it's a school district's duty.
Allowing boys into girls' locker rooms when dressing is an invasion of privacy and a threat to student safety. The school district should continue to reject any attempts to pressure it into a policy that puts student privacy in jeopardy.
Matt Sharp of Alliance Defending Freedom says in August of 2014, they sent every public school district in the nation a warning about these policies, giving the educators the background on two different victories involving other cases, one from Ohio and the other from Missouri. For the USA Radio Network, this is John Clemens.
West of Old England, a WCNO corporate underwriter, has the best in equestrian and western wear from head to toe for both horse and rider. They are your Wrangler, Pro Rodeo, and Horseman headquarters with an expanded woman's department. Also an expanded boot department with Georgia, Justin, and Wolverine boots. West of Old England is located in the Bruner Plaza, 650 Southeast Monterey Road, halfway between US 1 and Canner Highway. West of Old England.
Old housing cop. He was shot to death in East Harlem during an exchange of gunfire with a suspected bike thief. Consumer Reports is listing several problems with the Tesla Model S as the reason it's no longer recommending the electric sedan. Owners of the car have listed problems like squeaking noises, faulty motors, and issues with automatic door handles. Tesla has generally received great reviews, but Tuesday's fall from the recommended list dropped Tesla shares by as much as 10% in midday trading. UPS is agreeing to pay $4 million to a number of state and local governments for overcharging them on the price of shipping. New York's attorney general led the investigation and announced the settlement today. 14 states and 3 major cities will receive a portion of the settlement money. This investigation stemmed from an allegation made by a company employee in 2014. According to this claim, UPS's employees have been marking packages for next day delivery and then applying false exception codes when the package did not arrive on time. For the USA Headline News, I'm Melody Burkett.
Good news and shoes. It's Jesus in the everyday.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA, and SIPC. And now, the host of the Team Martech program, Joe Martech.
Cool now. Now, you know what happened? We just got told we were on the radio, and I did that on purpose because we were talking a little politics, and we're talking a little religion, and we're talking
consumer law.
A little consumer law. And then we were talking about Big Brother, meaning the government taking over everything. And what we were saying was the Catholic Church was going to merge with the World Bank.
No.
Isn't that something?
I didn't say that.
And become the absolute largest financial institution in the world.
Become the biggest financial institution. Folks, if you ever listen to this show, understand that we do have some humor here. In fact, one of my clients that I got from this show, wonderful guy, got the most unique business in the world. When I met him, I says, boy, I sure hope Jesus has a sense of humor. And he says, Joe, he has to put up with you.
Yeah.
Tom, would you echo that?
Echo.
Right.
Echo.
1-888-221-8990. Write that number down. Or remember it, or memorize it, 888-221-8990. This kind of reminds me when I used to, when I got baptized over in Clearwater, Florida, Calvary Baptist Church, the preacher over there, he'd say, okay, class, pay attention. And that's how he would start his sermon. Yep. He'd say, open your Bibles up, here's where we're going today. And he would teach from the Bible, and then he would use, you know, he was a one of the best teachers I've ever seen in my entire life. I don't care what he was.
Is he still around or is he gone?
He retired to Texas.
Oh, too bad. The good
but he
retired.
Built one of the monstrous church. Monstrous, is that a word?
If you say so.
Anyway,
monstrous.
But he was also a talent. You know how you meet talent in your life?
Talent.
We're not on TV. We're not on TV.
That's too bad, Joe. The audience talent. Can only
well,
see
audience
you.
Can only see that. We had quotes around the word talent. But, you know, some people have this God-given gift to do things that other people don't. And I just think it's an obligation that some people have to use that. And this man did. He was just a powerful, he was a Billy Graham clone, physically, handsome devil, tall, Texan, blonde.
Wasn't a
Tom,
devil.
Didn't look like Tom at all. Anyway. But he had a memory. He remembered everyone. There's thousands of people come to that church, and he remembered them. He just had, it was just, what a talent. Just a talent. Anyway, where was I going with this?
I have no idea.
Thank you. You're supposed to keep track of me, Vin.
I can't.
Hey, he
I got
a ton of trouble keeping track of myself. I was watching this.
So the reason I said to write this number down, because I know I get sidetracked, because I got Vince Rizzino, CPA, here, and he's my number cruncher, and he's going to keep me on track.
I'm going to keep you on track.
And then
but
got,
only if you stop with those ridiculous hand signals.
Then we got Pastor Tom over here who's falling asleep, and I got to keep him awake. He shaved off all his fur, and, you know, he I hardly recognized. I thought
he
you
can't
were,
keep his head on his shoulders.
I thought you were your son.
I'm my brother.
You're your brother. Younger
his
brother,
younger brother.
For sure. Mm-hmm. And the better one of the two, now that I think about it. When Mama used to say, game plan here, folks, is Team Martech started on a radio 10 or 12 years ago. And what I wanted to do when we started these shows is put a group together of local professionals that were not new in business, that had credibility, had integrity, and lots of experience. Now, I think in order to get credibility, experience helps a lot, because those of us that have lived in Florida a long, long time realize that people sometimes come and go. You ever notice that?
Never.
Isn't that a wild thing? So I've always said, hey, if somebody's lasted 5 years, that makes me happy. If they lasted 10 years, I want to do business with them. Because, you know, there seems to be this magic cutoff where, you know, we lose people. So when we started putting the group together, this was before the hurricanes Francis and Jean, first one was Greg Fasula, attorney. Why? Well, when I talk to a new prospect or suspect, The big subject is wills and trusts. If they don't have one, I feel it's a bit of my responsibility to stir the pot and get them to start thinking about this, because all three of us have seen terrible things happen because people did not take care of this responsibility and watch families fall apart, lawsuits occur, all kinds of stuff that probably many of them could have been avoided. So that was number one. Then I had to find an attorney who fit what I consider my criteria. Experienced, not arrogant, not pretentious, competent, good listener. There may not be but no, one.
I think you hit most of the points.
Yeah, Greg happens to be one of those.
A nice guy to boot.
Well, he's probably the only attorney I know I'd like to have as a next door neighbor. He's just a flat good person, and he helps people. And he, you know, everybody thinks attorneys are going to gouge you, and many of them do. Greg helps people, and he's not one of these people that takes advantage of people under any circumstances. He's just a flat good guy. So when I started using different attorneys, I always went back to Greg, because every time I found one that was not what I call user friendly, I'd go back to Greg. And then after about 5 years, I just said, I'm not going to go to anybody else. I'll go to Greg first, because Greg's going to tell me the truth. And if he doesn't do it, he'll tell me somebody else that does. I can depend on him. And, you know, Vince
means a lot.
You know, and here's Vince Rosino, CPA, who has become a good friend of mine, who we met 4, 5, 8 years ago, whatever it was. And I had been looking for a CPA that would fit our group for a long, long time. And just by freak luck, it happened. Back again, though. User-friendly.
Never luck, Joe.
It wasn't luck?
No.
You mean hanging out in that bar with you was not luck?
It was luck? The good Lord that put us together, that's all.
Well, you know, and you know, Vince, thank you. And a lot of times we say that and we take it loosely, but it probably was, because to put our little group together didn't happen by chance. I mean, it was an effort. Having a CPA that I could depend on, that would tell me the truth no matter what, it would help my clients, that was user friendly, most importantly had integrity, secondly most importantly that did what he, well, I guess that flows with integrity.
Yeah,
you do what you say you're going to do. How many people do we know say, yeah, I'll call you tomorrow? Uh-huh. Right.
And when they say they're going to do it.
Yeah, both. And you know, it's a very big problem, I think, in Florida. It seems like, is it more down here than up north, you think?
It's hard to say. I've been here 9.5 years.
It's hard to say exactly.
But I do know that
people here run on a different clock.
There is definitely a different clock. I agree with the pastor. And not everybody follows through. Yeah. You might get somebody to show up after a few days, and then they'll show up and tell you they'll get back to you, and then you got to chase them.
It seems to me, I call it, because we live close to the Bahamas, it's, hey, man, tomorrow, you know, mañana. Anyway, and it becomes an attitude, I think. Now, maybe if I grew, did you grow up? No, you grew up in what, Mississippi? Town?
No, Georgia.
Close enough.
No.
I know.
Those Georgians wouldn't agree with
you. Well, it depends what part of Georgia.
All of me.
Vidalia?
No, all of me.
All of it? I like that. Yeah. That's good time. Anyway, the whole concept was, here comes two professionals with credibility, with integrity, that do what they say they're going to do. Third one, Mr. Dan Warren, independent insurance agent. Probably, in my opinion, the premier independent insurance agent, period, on the Treasure Coast. Back again. 37 years in business, does what he says he's going to do. I mean, you can take Dan to the bank, and I'll tell you what, anytime one of his people doesn't do something, which is a rare thing, and I call Dan, I got to tell you, that problem is cured now. That's what happens. Because when you got a staff of 6 or 8 people, you know that no way in the world, 100% of the time, is everybody going to happen. But Dan has just been a magnificent person, does a great job for everybody. Then, Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, only known her since 1980. In my humble opinion, you ever see me be humble?
Never.
I know. Let me just rephrase this. In my arrogant opinion, she is the hardest working realtor I have ever met in my life. She may be the hardest working person. She's only got 2 speeds. She's either working or sleeping. I swear, she's just one of those. And far as credibility and integrity, absolutely. You couldn't make that girl lie if you tried. So anything I need to know about real estate, I got to call her. Any client of mine, got to call her. And she'll help you over the phone. She won't come out and try to make you sign an agreement. Her bottom line is to help people, and that's why she's one of the top REMAX people in the whole world.
Well, one thing I can say, Joe, you may not always be right, but you're never wrong.
Me?
Yeah.
Way to go, Vin. Way to go, Vin.
I got
to
think about that.
Was that $20 or was that $25?
That was $25.
That was $25. Last member, the newest one, Mr. Mike Paulus, mortgage broker. Mike was on the morning show, WPSL 1590 AM. Not that I would do an unsolicited comment like that, but we do that show every Wednesday also at 11 AM. And a big subject has been mortgages now, especially since the real estate debacle when the world was falling apart. And that mortgage business changes almost daily. You read in the paper about you can't get a mortgage, you got to put 20% down. Mike's got a USDA program with no money down.
Aren't there some plans for first-time home buyers too? To get some assistance with down payments?
There's every kind of program in the world today. The USDA is no money down Zippo. No money out of pocket. You can buy a house, brand new house, whatever. Mm-hmm. Now you have to qualify for it. You have to have credit. You got to have a job. You know, there's no such thing as they're just going to give you the money if you can't afford to pay for it. But literally what I was talking today with him on the radio, a client of mine, not a young person, retired banker. Now, you ever notice bankers, they think they know everything, Vince? You ever notice that?
No, most of the bankers
I've dealt with are like attorneys. They're very humble.
Yeah, right. Okay, so anyway, she says, I'm going to go buy another house. And I said, okay, fine, you're going to need a mortgage. Call Mike. And she goes, no, I'll go to my bank. I know what I'm doing. So 3 weeks later, she calls me up. Joe, you got that Mike guy's number? And I said, no, she's Italian.
She's Italian?
So I always call her Aunt Phil. That's not her name, but that's what
Philomena?
I call her. Yeah. So I call her. Aunt Phil, what happened? She goes, well, I forgot that I co-signed for a loan from my nephew who never paid the loan. Oh. So what happens is you walk into your bank, quote, her bank. She knows everybody. They take an application. They shove the application into the system. 2-3 weeks later, they say approved, unapproved. Here's what we have to do, one of the three. And that's what happened. She got turned down flat. Now, what Mike would do with the same person, he would do run a credit report with you even on the phone or call you back in 10 minutes and say, here's our problem. We need to cure this problem, and here's what we need to do to cure the problem to get you financed. So literally working with Mike, working with Victoria, working with Vince, working with Dan, working with Greg, working with Joe, you're dealing with people that it's like family. We're going to talk to you just like family. We're going to sit here and give you the straight skinny. We're not going to play a game or act like we're somebody we're not. And by the way, even though Tom has fallen asleep because he's heard this story, he gets tired of it a little bit. He wants to go sue Best Buy, but I'm not going to talk about that. You can call us at 1-888-221-8990. Because he said, if Best Buy doesn't treat him right, he might talk about him on the radio, but I won't. 1-888-221-8990. 1-888-221-8990. And today we've got Vince Rosino, CPA, forensic CPA, which means he's an expert witness, ex-college professor.
But not at Columbia.
And Joe Martek, financial advisor. I'm also called a securities principal. Multiple licenses. Financial advisor, security, anyway, lots of licenses. Boy, I just took like 9 courses, Vince.
You did?
I couldn't. They kept
coming. You mean you're getting edumacated?
Edumacated.
Wow.
And you know what gets me is I finished all these courses, then they come back and say, wait a minute, you didn't finish them all. And I said, what ones didn't I finish? Well, first I think I might have had Tom's Mac computer, and one of them says it has block up, what do they call it? Pop-ups.
Pop-ups. Yeah.
There's a little tiny box way up in the right-hand corner with a red X in it. I never knew that.
So what happened? You skipped right by that one?
Yeah.
So you got them wrong?
No, I didn't get them.
Oh, you didn't get them at all.
They called me up and they said, Joe, you got to take these 4 more or 3 more courses. And I said, by when? By yesterday. So they gave me a 2-week extension to take
them. I usually spend my whole summer getting my CPEs.
Well, you know what?
40 hours. I need 40 hours, Joe.
Well, do you have to go and physically sit?
No, I can do it self-study, and that's usually the way I do it.
Well, I had a 3.5-hour sit. I had to go sit. And it's the one that's on basically on money laundering right now, you know?
Yep.
That's the big one. You know, folks, if you haven't heard of that word, money laundering, the government and the securities business and the stock exchange and the powers that be, the control licenses for attorneys and CPAs. They are so concerned about people doing drug deals and not paying taxes.
Well, there's people getting in trouble, not even knowing that they're getting in trouble. There was a fellow recently that he would hold his receipts and stuff until, you know, he had about $9,500, and he'd go make a deposit because he was told he needs to do that
under $10,000.
Under $10,000, right, because right. If he deposits over $10,000,
they're going to report it.
They're right. Going to report it. So he's in a high volume business. He was depositing $9,500 and then $8,500
every few days.
Every few days. And the next thing, he was being charged.
Let me tell you
and
something.
And under investigation because they thought he was up to something.
Absolutely.
And I would have too, because if you skirt the law, $10,000 is the limit. So let's deposit $9,000, $9,500, $9,700, $9,800. It's kind of a pattern. And that's what they, in our continuing education courses, they look for these patterns. And if the bank doesn't report them, man, they are in deep trouble. You know, when they make
because of the pattern or because of the amount?
Yes,
both.
If there's a pattern,
definitely, Joe. Because even I had a forensic case, the same thing. The fellow thought that if he deposited in different branches of the same bank, that somehow they wouldn't notice that.
It's all the same bank.
It's all the same bank, and all the transactions were compiled. And guess what? He had some splaining to do.
Well, is this because the government doesn't want an individual doing something that they don't know about?
Here's what it amounts to. They're looking for money laundering. Now, when you money laundering, that's what put Al Capone in jail. It wasn't that he was a killer or drug dealer or whatever.
No, tax evasion. Tax evasion is basically what
put him in jail. Which is money laundering, the same thing. They're not paying tax on this money. And the government wants its money. So it's more and more sophisticated every day with all the power of the internet and all these things that can happen. Like right now, look at Dave. Didn't they loosen up Switzerland and there's no more numbered accounts for Switzerland and America?
Yeah, they've already agreed to give the government certain information about all the accounts. And there's no secrecy anymore.
Big banks, I mean, over in Europe, they've had to pay billions of dollars in fines.
Well, what about one's right to privacy? I mean,
here's the key.
Do you no longer have a right to privacy about what your deposits are, how much you have in your accounts? Because I read something just today that there's some talk about the government, whoever that might be, seizing people's savings.
Well, yeah.
Hey, look, they tried it in Cyprus, didn't they do it in Cyprus?
And they're talking about doing that here.
So the
question was, should I take my money and just hold on to it?
Put it under the mattress or
cash
whatever?
In a sock?
Well, here's the key to it. And there's always going to be these soothsayers out there that are selling negativism. Mm-hmm. Hey, this is America. I got to tell you guys, we are it. We are the best kid on the entire block. I don't care how bad or good the block is. We are the best. So our system of government isn't necessarily foolproof, but it's an elected system. There's multiple people that get elected, and every so many years we get to vote them out or vote them in. And if somebody starts, remember back in the McCarthy days, going back in the 50s, where people do these crazy things, well, you vote them out. And you get somebody else in the thing. And there's going to be crooks no matter what you do. But the key is this. What they're looking is money laundering because of the illegal drug trades and illegal immigrant trades, all of these things where money is being moved and nobody's paying tax on it. They want to get the tax on it. Why do you think they're legalizing marijuana in different states? So the states can get taxed on it. Because right today it's an illegal thing and it's cash money and nobody's paying tax. Well, millions and millions of dollars. Why do they want to try to reform taxes with the fair tax plan, a value-added tax where you tax everything that people spend rather than their income? Because when they spend the money, they add a tax to it. Well, guess what? It's pretty hard to hide that. So anyway.
In a lot of ways, Joe, it's more fair because it captures the illegals. It captures the very wealthy. And it's all proportionate. Nobody escapes that consumption tax.
Yeah, it's a consumption tax.
Well, I think some of the candidates running that have suggested that we go to a fair tax or a VAT tax have been criticized because they made the statements, well, you know, all of a sudden now you're going to have the drug people, the prostitutes,
paying tax.
The criminal element. That's getting away with paying no tax now will be paying the same tax that you and I.
They'll be paying tax.
And matter of fact,
even the illegals, Pastor.
Yeah.
The illegals too.
Everybody's
paying. If you have to buy
everybody that's not paying because they're breaking the law. Period. mm-hmm. all of a sudden, if you have a value-added tax, meaning a sales tax, everybody pays. If you don't spend any money, you don't pay any tax. Well, it's pretty hard to live without spending some money.
And some of the illegal people might even pay more tax, because if you're in the drug business and you're making money and driving the big fancy cars and all the gold and glitter,
you're paying for that.
You're going to be paying for it.
And if you buy your 100-foot yacht, you're going to pay for that too.
Mm-hmm. You're going to buy me a 100-foot yacht?
No, you already have one.
Oh,
yeah, I'll give you another one.
It's not quite that big. That 11 feet, you know, that little, pram.
It's a dinghy.
I mean, dinghy. Are you calling me a dink? What?
No, that's a dinghy boat.
1-888-221-8990. So now we have espoused and we have run at the mouth here. That is not why we're here. We're here actually to help you. And you got Vince Rizzino, CPA. We hit some subjects, Vince. We've hit Social Security, which is a big subject, which goes on constantly.
Very big.
We have taken numerous courses. I have gone to the Social Security Administration and met with them with numerous clients.
I've read books, taken courses, and even now I find the more I read, the more complex this thing begins.
It's an amazing system.
It is.
But the bottom line is, if you're on the cusp of getting into Social Security, you're not already in the system, it wouldn't hurt you to give us a call. And we can help point you in the right direction. I've had wonderful experiences with our local office up here. They've been very user-friendly. They have renovated it and set up a magnificent system, which is atypical of what I expect from the government. But this one really runs well. If you want to talk about rollovers, that's another subject that we take for granted. But if you're retiring from a company, you may have a profit-sharing plan. You may have what's called a 457 plan. You may have a 401k. Lots of different numbers and letters, 403B. There's tons of different plans where you've not paid tax on that money. And if you take all that money and put it in your pocket, you got to pay all the tax at one time. But if you roll it over into what's called an individual retirement account, an IRA, you don't pay tax until you take it out again and put it in your pocket. And you may not do that for a few years. So there's lots of education that you need to know. I'll tell you one that we got the other day. Things that we take for granted, which is really a shame. We shouldn't. We got a guy called up and he said, who has to pay intangible tax and dock stamps on a deed when you buy or sell a house? Who has to pay?
Who has to pay?
He was told that he had to pay certain one of these things. And the end of the conversation was, that's not true. You don't have to pay anything. It's all basic negotiation. I can buy a house from Vince, and there might be $6,000 in closing costs, and there might be a real estate commission that I'm supposed to pay or he's supposed to pay, and if we negotiate that he pays 100% of it and I pay nothing, that's the contract. And that's
it. Was he referring to, though, the dock stamps, Joe, or the actual recording fees and things like that? I don't think that's negotiable.
Yes, it is.
You going to negotiate with the county on that?
No, it has to be paid.
You're talking of, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, it has to be paid by somebody.
By somebody.
Question is it the buyer or the seller?
There you go.
That is all negotiable.
Yeah.
Everything is negotiable,
and part of the conversation was he was told, and realtors will tell you this, it's usual and customary. Matt, you notice the quotes? You know, we're doing the quotes again. Tom,
looks like a dog that's begging for a bone. You got to check this. Put this image.
those of you that are watching us on TV, you got the wrong TV because we're not on TV. Anyway, usual and customary doesn't mean you have to.
Right.
So literally, it's called normal that if I'm selling a house to Vince, I'm going to pay for an owner's title insurance policy that shows that I own the place. And I got to pay for that insurance. Does that mean I have to? No. If Vince and I make a deal and I say, Vince, I don't care what you have to pay. I want a net X number of dollars. You're going to pay everything. And he agrees to it. It's all done. That's whatever it is in writing. Mm. So dock stamps, intangible tax, recording fees, it goes on and on and on. There's thousands of dollars normally in closing costs. There's prepaids. There's all kinds of stuff. But literally, I was talking to Mike, and Mike said he even had a deal a few weeks ago where the listing, the people that were selling the house, they had the buyer pay the real estate commission. And that's very unusual, but that's what they agreed to.
Well, again, like you say, it's all negotiable.
It's all subject to negotiation. So that was just a, you know, and something that maybe we take for granted that we know that, but almost 90% of the people that buy something because their realtor says, oh, this is the way it is, this is the way it is, this is the way it is.
And they just accept it by...
And they accept
it. And it could be a tax reason for doing it too, Joe, because sometimes the seller may not be in a gain situation, doesn't need that write-off, where the buyer may. So you go put it in the basis for the buyer.
You know, here was another thing. Years ago, I sold a house, and for X number of dollars, and the guy buying the house, he said, hey, let's lower the price by X number of dollars, and I will pay you for furnishings, fixtures, and et cetera, separately. Okay, it changes the taxable consequence of the house. And it was perfectly legal, it was all done above board, and it also lowered the cost for title insurance because they're based on the purchase price of the house.
Right.
So there's all kinds of things that can be done. And if you have a person like Vince or Joe or Mike Paulus or Victoria Lloyd or Greg Fasula, attorney, advising you a bit on how to do these things, it could make a difference of a few thousand dollars in or out of your pocket.
I have a question about purchasing property and stuff that I was looking through some old records of family records on property that had been in our family. And years ago when they would sell a piece of property, it was sold for $1 and other considerations.
Yeah.
Is that still?
I've seen $10 and other considerations. I haven't seen it. Yeah.
I've not seen it.
When you go to the county and you want to record that, the county says, we don't think so. We don't like that because we want our tax.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to establish a value. Like, I'll give you this. Let's say you buy a car from me. Mm-hmm. And it's a whatever your car it is, and we sell it to you for $20,000. Let's just use that number. And we sign a deed that says, I sold it to you for $10 and other valuable consideration. And you go down to there and say, I'll pay tax on the $10.
They're not going to do that.
No, they're going to look at you and say, wait a minute, let me look it up. And they look up the car and the year and the make and the model, and they come up and said, okay, fair value is $20,000. You owe us $1,200 in tax. And that's what they do. So you can do that. Now, under some circumstances, and I'm going out on a limb here. I wish I had Mike or Victoria here. But if I transfer ownership from me to a member of the family, there are some circumstances where it's not going to be considered as if it was an arm's length transaction. Also,
it's caught the other way around. They're very cautious with transactions between relatives because
also,
they figure you're going to be up to something with that.
Uncle Bill, meaning Bill Clinton, said we can sell a primary residence and make, if we're married, up to $500,000 in profit, and there is no tax on the profits.
It's not only being married, Joe, it's you got to be married filing jointly, because you can't be married
separate. So now if you're married
I'm a little technical on this stuff.
I like that. If you're single or married filing separate, it's $250,000.
That's correct.
So Uncle Bill did us some good things.
He did a great thing, and I think that helped the baby boomers particularly.
Tremendously.
Because they are the ones that had the houses maybe for 20 or 30 years,
and
they have, depending where you live.
Did you have to buy that house before a certain date after?
No.
So if
you had to sell it by a certain date.
Everything was retroactive, so whatever you owned on that date.
So if you bought a house today, sold it 10 years from now, that would apply?
As long as the law was still in effect.
Repealed the law, and since when Bill, under Bill Clinton's administration, that was passed, so what's that, 12, 14, 15 years ago, mm-hmm. or 20, whatever it was, from that point forward, anytime a house was sold, if there was profit, there's no tax unless the profit was over $250,000 single, $500,000 joint, based on filing a joint tax return.
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden, there was a tremendous amount of tax that was no longer due.
So if you've been in your house and you sell it and you have $200,000 in equity, you're not going to pay tax on that.
Zippo.
Be careful.
It's got to be primary.
Be careful with equity versus what your tax gain is.
Here's what he's saying. If you bought the house for $100,000,
mm-hmm.
and you put $50,000 into it in expenses, now your basis is $150,000, and you sold it for $250,000, you got $100,000 worth of profit. There's no tax. As long as it's your primary residence, period. Now that's
not investment property.
Investment property.
May have $250,000 of equity in that example because you don't owe anything. You have no debt.
You forget
but
equity.
That's not your profit. So equity is not the concept. It's yeah. it's your basis, as Joe pointed out, versus your net proceeds from sale. Now, that net proceeds, you get to take off any fix-up expenses you incur yeah, to yeah. get it ready for sale. You get the broker commissions come off the top of
well,
that.
Well, let me give an illustration. A house that I purchased back in 1979
mm-hmm.
in Tampa, I paid $17,500 for that house. I sold it 2 or 3 years later, but I was looking at some tax yeah, rolls right. that a few it's, years ago, that same house, it was not much of a house, two-bedroom, one-bath house in Tampa, sold for $500,000.
Right.
So if I had bought that house for $17,500, kept it all those years and yes. sold it for $500,000.
And you're married.
And I'm married.
Filing jointly.
No
the
tax. There
would be no tax on
no
that.
Tax.
Zip.
Okay.
And you're not even considering that you put money into it over those yeah. years. I'm sure you must have put a porch
well,
on,
I mean,
a kitchen,
yeah.
a bathroom,
but if you
something,
never did anything
a new
to
roof.
It.
Point is, you know, there yeah. was no tax. Now, there was a rule prior to this that you had to roll your money into another house.
They changed that in 1986.
Defer, but under Bill Clinton's administration, they changed that rule. And it was a gift, like you, Vinny said, to... If you were a baby boomer,
because you might not want to buy a house, you might want to downsize and move into a condo.
Yeah, yeah.
And by the way, the rules today, you still have to be, it has to be a personal residence for 2 out of 5 years. So you got to be careful with that too. There is a requirement that you live in that house for at least 2 out of 5 years.
So let's just take another example. We bought this house in 1979.
Sorry, then there don't have to be consecutive years, but you have to be in there 2 years.
We bought it 1979 for $100,000, and we rented it out for 10 years. Now it's 1989 and we sold it. It's an investment property. New rule. We bought it in 79, rented it for 10 years, but moved into the house and made it our primary residence for the last 2 of the last 5 years. Now it's our primary residence, right?
You don't escape all the taxes because that's not where you go. I hope you're not going there.
Well, you're
going
to do. We're talking depreciation and all.
Yeah,
the
you got. And plus, it's a proportion of the years that you had as a well, rental.
What if you lived there 10 years? You rented it for 10 years. You lived in it 5 years and then sold it.
That's what we just said.
It's proportional.
It's proportional.
But and whatever you yeah. rented, it also throws another wrinkle in there because the IRS looks at that as a separate business. Then what you've done is you've converted a residence into a business.
Or you converted
into
a business,
bank,
into,
or business into a residence yeah. or residence into a business, and each one has separate tax attributes to it.
That's much more complicated. But the reality is this. If you have a piece of property that is a rental property, you're supposed to claim it as a rental property. You're supposed to depreciate the asset, take it as a tax situation, and then when you sell it, you're supposed to pay back the depreciation.
Well, you don't pay it back. It's just that portion that comes back as ordinary income, Joe.
The rest I call of it that is, paying it back.
Well, you're also paying back the other because the rest is capital gain.
Yeah. Key is this. Your primary residence, you're allowed to make up to $500,000 in profit. Primary residence, under the rules, you got to live in it for at least 2 of the last 5 years and then sell it. I hear clients, and you see it too, they say, well, we're going to keep the house that we paid $50,000 for that's now worth $500,000, and we're going to rent it. Say, well, just think about this for a minute. You may collect some rental income, but when you sell that house, now all of a sudden, you're into a whole different ballgame.
It's still proportional, Joe. You got to take the portion that it was a primary residence right. and the portion it was a rental and allocate the purchase, the sales price accordingly.
Is it in your best interest to do that?
You still need to look at it. It may not be.
So here's what happens when you have a, quote, competent
CPA.
Can you imagine that?
Holy God. Put words right in his mouth. I knew where he was headed.
You knew where I was going. Then he's going to say, okay, let's do the math.
Right.
Let's figure it out. And then, is it in your best interest? Like, how many times do we have somebody say, Joe, I've been told that I should have a mortgage for taxes.
Right.
I said, uh-huh, right.
Uh-huh. What are you going to do with the money, I asked them.
All
I don't know. I'm going to invest it in municipal bonds.
Yeah, oh,
no.
Man.
No.
All it amounts to is when you get a CPA or somebody that's competent, quote, let's just stay with the CPA, he will then put the numbers down and say, okay, illustration A, illustration B. If you do A, this is what you pay. If you do B, this is what you pay. What do you think is better? I have never in my life seen where it pays to have a mortgage. Have you?
Well, yes, it could be, but not
I'm
in,
talking
not in
primary the, resident.
Yeah, but not in this environment, Joe.
No, no.
Too low interest rate. Right. I could see if there was a big spread in the mortgage rate between what you could get on the outside investing the money and what you're paying on this side.
Well, yeah, but that's
but
still
it's
a
too
risk.
Risky. It's
that's
too risky.
Risk.
I would never recommend a client mortgage their houses to go invest the money.
I have seen people do it, and I have
unless it's in the house, of course.
Well, I have seen people say, Joe, I can go out and get a mortgage on my house for 4%. Can you make me 20%?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, I could sit here and say maybe, but there's no guarantee. Period, period, period. And I am 1,000% against borrowing money to invest. That's the best way to work the rest of your life paying off all of this debt. And I've seen
and the only people that's going to make money on that is the people that you invest in.
No kidding.
And if the mortgage is low enough, Joe, it may not even be worth your while because you get no tax deduction for some interest. In other words, if you're in a situation where all you have is this house and you have some taxes that you pay and so on, well, the standard deduction is about $12,800. Which means
as a standard,
the standard deduction is going to be greater.
It may be greater than the combination of all these itemized things. So maybe you're borrowing this money, not getting a tax bang on the write-off. You're not getting it, and then yet you think you're making out.
You know, you're talking a lot about taxes and saving money. The end of the year's coming up.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. What about investment strategies to save, or maybe some things about taxes that people need to start thinking about right now?
Absolutely.
It was very interesting. You know this guy, Mike Paulus?
I know him well.
Mortgage broker. He said, Vince saved me a bundle of money last year. He convinced me to get an IRA and saved me $3,000 in taxes it moved to a different bracket, and he got to put the money aside into a tax-deferred instrument, and it saved him literally and he could afford to do it, which was a brilliant strategy.
Mm-hmm.
But literally, there was $3,000 he did not lose, kiss goodbye, in taxes that year. So, what's the rules now? If I'm over, what's the age where I get $6,000 or $6,500 I can put into an IRA?
Well, that's over 50. Because
over 50?
You get that extra added bonus.
Is it $6,500 this year?
It's $6,500. They kept it at the same rate.
If I'm under 50?
Under 50, it's $5,500.
So that means this.
That's on the IRA.
I can put money into an IRA for myself and my spouse, by the way.
Yes, you can.
That means $11,000 a year if I'm under 50.
Unless your income's very, very, very high, over $190,000.
If you're making too much money,
you
can't
do it.
No. Now, if you're making too much money, then you need to call Vince anyway.
Exactly. I'll call Joe.
Yeah, and then we sit down and we say, hey, there's other ways to skin this cat. You know, the government, in spite of the fact that we don't necessarily like what they do a lot of the time, there are different
There's legitimate ways to save taxes, Joe, except for, you know, people might be looking for, as I say in my business, if we don't do black, we don't expect it to be a pearly white, and basically you try to keep you in the channel in any defensible position. We try to keep you in the channel.
Here's the key. It's not called tax evasion. It's called tax avoidance. You know, even Donald Trump is saying, sure, I don't pay his taxes. Any dime that I can avoid, I'm not going to do it. I stay within the law. That's the rule,
and that's the way we operate. Because if the client expects anything less, tell them to go somewhere else.
If you get a deduction for mortgage interest,
right,
and it's going to benefit you to save you money in the long run
all
to claim that deduction, there's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong.
And sometimes it's not so black and white. Sometimes it's gray, and you need to look at the facts and circumstances.
It's like in businesses, your business expenses.
Right. Right.
You know, if you go out to have lunch with your wife, that's not an expense.
Well, you know,
but unless it's something to do with the business.
Well, I got a business.
Well, even then,
and you've got to log it. You got to take records. You got to keep those expenses.
Like when I come in here, you know, and I have to talk to Pastor Tom, that's a business expense.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, I mean, I write off $500
I thought it was a contribution to the pastorship.
I thought it was a therapy session.
Watch out! He gets the write off. You got some miscellaneous income.
Here's opinions now, folks. We got opinions here.
Right? I was going to write it off as a charitable case.
charitable case. That I understand.
Yep, and Joe is definitely that.
I have been a charitable case on it. Tam, you know, don't you have an extra room at your house?
Not this week.
But to answer Pastor's question, because there are lots of things, Pastor, that people can do and start thinking about. Number one, it's investing, opening up IRAs if they want to open up the IRAs. But there's also, you look at your medical expenses, for example. For most people under 65 years old, you're limited to 10% of your adjusted gross income. What does that mean? It means if not you're making much. $100,000, that means first $10,000 you eat of those out-of-pocket expenses.
What about your health insurance? Does that count?
Depends on if you're in business or not. If you're not in business, you're not self-employed, then that health insurance would go into the bucket towards the 10%
threshold. In addition to the medical expenses.
In addition to your out-of-pocket, your co-pays and your doctor visits. And
but
your
they've really cut this medical expense.
Well, they did because it was 7.5% until about 3 years ago, and then they raised it to 10%.
What about interest?
Interest is still deductible on mortgages up to $100,000 on a home equity, up to $1 million mortgage on the other side.
The on the other hand,
you remember the days you used to be able to take your interest on your credit card? And all that.
And the government decided that they weren't going to fund, they weren't going to underwrite people overspending, and so they said enough of that.
Here comes a difference in opinion sometimes between Vince and I. So here's a client that says, Joe, I owe $20,000 on my credit card and $20,000 on my car, and I'm paying 6%, 8%, and 10% interest on those things. Do you think I should take a home equity loan, which is tax deductible, the interest, and pay those off? And I said, well, here becomes a depends. How good are you at disciplining yourself to not get yourself back in trouble again? Meaning, if you borrow that money on your house, you get the tax deduction and you pay off those debts, but don't go back into debt again. The whole concept is, yes, you get a tax deduction for doing that.
You may, and there's another may, Joe, because as I was talking about before, they may be below the standard deduction and they're not getting any extra bang for their buck.
Here comes so, back into talking to a
you need
CPA.
To talk about that.
Well, you know, a lot of people, you have these credit cards that are charging 15, 18.
20. See, that's a no-brainer. Tax is irrelevant there.
29%. You're not going to be able to write any of that interest off.
No.
So, and if you have a line of credit that maybe you already have, a lot of people will have a line of credit that's available to them.
That's why I say you're right, Pastor. That's why I say it's not
the whole
credit card. Pay off those credit cards,
right,
and pay the line of credit at 8%.
Let's get Pastor Tom to quit talking for a minute. We got a call.
Yeah, because
we had a call. We lost it already.
Did you lose it?
You're absolutely right, Pastor. Can we just finish that thought?
Yeah.
It's not a tax question at that point. It's a financial one. Mm-hmm. You're taking debt that's at 12% and swapping it for debt that it's 3 or 3.5. That's a no-brainer. Well, forget the tax aspects of it.
Just
on a pure financial statement, it's definitely worth doing.
However,
now, if you get a tax deduction, it's a bonus.
Now, the cards that come out.
Credit card
transfers?
I love that stuff.
Why not do it? It's free.
Why not? It doesn't cost you
But anything. You got to pay 3%.
Depends. Some banks, it depends on the bank.
Some yes, right, some no. Now, we can stop these guys from talking, and we'll take our caller. Caller, it's Joe Martek, Pastor Tom, and Vince Rosino. I've got them to be quiet so you can talk to us on the radio.
Anyway, I didn't want to, but I'll go ahead. I'm calling from Florida.
Okay.
With regards to residents in Georgia, I don't know if you'd be able to answer my questions pertaining to.
Well, let's try. Let's try. Go ahead and ask.
Well, yes, I own a house in Georgia, and I happen to have been away from home for an extended period of time. And in 2013, my husband became sick. He was mentally incapacitated, and during that time, he claimed his portion of the house to his tax preparer. And having done that, he left the state and went to reside in another state. Since then, it has been like just in limbo. There's no doors I can open to even get a court hearing on the matter, because I did not sign and the house was, our names.
Now, was the house in both of your names?
Yes.
And he claimed the house to somebody, and that person took the house, right?
Yes.
Now, does that person still reside in the house, or did they sell the house, or do you know?
No, she has never lived in it. She has proceeded to tenant out the house, which was
okay. So,
she's
right
the president. Yeah.
So now what happened is maybe your name was forged. Do you think that's possible?
I don't think so, because I have gone to the courts to house down in Georgia to search the documents there, and I don't see any evidence of where my name was forged.
There's another thing that happens now. Here's what happens. Let's say you bought the house with your husband, and you bought it with joint tenants with rights of survivorship. Technically, either one of you can sell that whole house and do whatever you want. It depends on how it was deeded. Vince, help me with this.
I was looking at it from another angle, Joe. Caller, did you say that your husband was incapacitated?
Yes, he was.
Was it before
or after this transaction?
During.
While he was incapacitated, he signed this.
So maybe he wasn't of the right mental frame of mind to sign such a document.
However, now you've got a court situation.
You got a lawyer situation. Yeah.
Have you talked to a lawyer in Georgia?
I have done that, among other things. I've been trying since then to open a door, but I am left financially stranded. And the only response I got that could have moved it from where it is that I would have had to retain a lawyer to straighten all that out.
Okay, let's go back into another thing. Retaining a lawyer and paying the money is one thing. What was this in a big city or a small city in Georgia?
It's in a average.
Okay. There might be a legal service up there. Many, many places have legal services that are free that help people under certain circumstances, and you need to research that. You can call the courthouse. You could call the newspaper. You could go online. But there might be a legal services. Many, many places have such things to help people that have been taken advantage of, that are indigent or that can't afford an attorney. And that would be the next step I would go for.
I have exhausted all those.
You've already tried that.
Yes, I have done. I've exhausted everything you could ever think
of. I got one last.
Against the background that I am financially stranded.
Yeah. You've got one last solution. You have to go to law school and become an attorney yourself. And I'm being facetious, you know that. But here's what I'm trying to say. This is not a pretty picture. I can't believe that there's nobody available to help you in that area in the legal services community, because even judges will tell attorneys they have to do some pro bono work. Pro bono means they have to do it for free to help people under certain circumstances.
Are you living in Florida?
Yes, I'm living in Florida.
Okay, it may be that because she's not living there, it's not available to her.
Well, that's a good question. But the point is, and even though you said you've exhausted everything, have you talked to, well, I'm saying number one, legal services in the state of Georgia.
Yes, I have. I have spoken to someone from the free legal service that,
And they've said, they've said no, huh?
They said what he says amounts to no, because he examined the document that I had, and it took him like a minute to figure out that it's illegal. And then his next question to me is, have I ever been told by anyone? I said no, except you. Then he said, well, you'll need a lawyer.
Yeah.
And that lawyer you're gonna be looking at maybe $5,000 to $10,000, and it's the lawyer who works in a free legal system in the county in which the incident has happened.
Well, he's not free if he's charging you money.
No.
But
I was crestfallen when that happened, because I know that that's what he was supposed to have been helping me with to find a pro bono lawyer. I have exhausted everything.
Okay, now, even though you've exhausted everything, I'm going to re-stir this pot a little bit. You need to start over again, because at some point, whoever stopped you and said you're done, I can't believe this is true. There's got to be some part of the system that you have not exhausted that can open this door again for you. and I am not going to be a lot of help because we're in Florida, and I don't know anybody in Georgia personally that I could direct you to. But the Legal Aid Society, maybe even if you talk to a Legal Aid Society attorney here in Palm Beach County or Martin County, wherever you live, or St. Lucie County, they may be able to help you. They may be able to guide you to see what... Yeah. A lot of people, because they don't live in that area, they're going to pass the buck real fast and not try to help you. But what I'm going to do is this. You gave your phone number and your name to the lady that Connie answered the phone, did you not?
Yes, I did.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to talk to Greg Fasula, the attorney that's part of our group, and I'll lean on him a little bit to do a little research to see if he can help guide you to somebody up in Georgia. What county were you in Georgia?
It's Gwinnett County, Lawrenceville City, Gwinnett County.
Yeah, you're right outside of Atlanta.
Yes.
Lawrenceville. Okay. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk to Greg. I'll get a hold of him tomorrow, and I'll see what he can do, and then I will either call you or Connie or Greg will call you, and we'll do our best to help you.
I would appreciate very much because put me into the hospital, and my health has been like compromised as a result of the struggles, because my husband and myself are out of a home, and he is now in a nursing home, and I am without a home, and we are senior people. We are senior citizens.
Well, I identify with that because I'm an old guy too.
All right. I can attest to that.
Yeah, thank you very much. Anyway, here, listen, you just hang in there. We'll get your name and number, and I will call Greg tomorrow. And one way or another, we'll get back to you, if not tomorrow, by the first of the week. I promise you that. And we'll see what we can do, if we can do anything. All right?
I greatly appreciate it. Thank you.
You're quite welcome. Bye.
Take care, caller. God bless you. Now, yeah, you know, the other thing, Joe, is there might be a lawyer here in Florida that's also in the Georgia bar.
Yeah.
Who might be able to have access there. Also, you know, they might consider a contingency situation. If she does get this house back and they sell it, maybe the lawyer can get something on a contingency basis.
There may be a listener out there that may have some ideas. And if
you
do,
all
give us a call here at the station, because, you know.
1-888-221-8990, 888-221-8990. We'll try to help this lady the best we can, because... If that attorney said immediately that it was fraud, that they accepted a quit claim deed without her being on it, guess what? That's pretty clear cut. However,
I thought she said, though, that it was legal, that the person looked at it and said it was legal.
Well, I thought he said the attorney said it was fraud. No.
Well, I didn't get that. But if it was, because she's saying that there's no way around it, where her signature was supposed to be.
Yeah.
It wasn't hers.
That's against the law. If they owned it in tenants in common.
Oh, tenants in common is a different story.
I know. If you own a joint tenant, husband and wife?
He can't sell it out from under.
And if it's joint tenants with rights of survivorship, you could.
Yeah.
It depends how it's deeded. And there becomes
what happens. Whether or not her name was on the title and all kinds of issues.
I think she alluded to the fact she thinks it is or was. But what we're going to do, we need to find somebody up there that can talk to her. And I'm going to talk to Greg and just see what he can do.
But see, the other thing is, I think you could probably come up with a legal angle here, Joe, but then it comes down to the money situation.
Yeah. Well, you have to find an attorney willing to take it on contingencies.
Exactly.
And there might be somebody like that. Anyway, we're running out of time. Pastor Tom is flashing 30 and 15 seconds. He's getting flustered because he can't count that high. 1-888-221-8990, 888-221-8990. You call and talk. If you don't want to talk on the radio, which is too late to do, they'll leave your name and number, and we'll get back to you.
You've been listening
to
the Team Martech program.
Bye.
You're out.
The Team Martech program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team Martech program. here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team Martech is available at 772-229-0114.
This is WCNO, Palm City.